We understand that earthly fathers fail, but we understand that our heavenly Father does not. Does He? And so that's what we're going to look at this morning, how our Lord takes care of His own. Exodus in chapter 16, 1 through 7. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel, the whole congregation, grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For they have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." I think they forgot the slavery part. And I don't feel that they ate bread to the full. And I don't believe that they sat by pots of meat. They were imagining something. I don't know what they were imagining, but it wasn't. These were lies. They were not doing these things. They were in bondage and in slavery. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And it will come about on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily." So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel, "At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for He hears your grumblings against the Lord. And what are we that you grumble against us?" Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would bless the reading of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have a good Father. The children of Israel were delivered, and we know the story. It was very historical. This was something that was rehearsed over and over in the ears of the children of Israel, how they were delivered from bondage and from Pharaoh. From captivity, they were set free. We understand from the Word of God that there was a deliverer sent to the Egyptians, or to the Israelites, to deliver them from the Egyptians. And who was that deliverer? Moses. Moses was a type of who? Christ. We understand that. But what I want to do this morning is I want to go back into their history just a little bit, and I want us to see where the Lord delivered them, how many times He delivered them in just a short amount of time, their complaints and His blessings. And we'll see us, I think, very clearly if we look close enough. So we know that He sent Moses to deliver them. And first, I'm going to give you seven of these things that the Lord had done for the children of Israel. And if you got a pen, you'll want to write them down. I think that we know them, but it's always good to go back over them, being that He is a good Father to us, and He was a good Father to the children of Israel, even though they didn't deserve it. He was a good Father. The first thing, they were delivered from the 10 plagues placed on Egypt. Let's remember that there was light in Goshen, and there was darkness in Egypt. Separating the two, we remember the 10 plagues, and we remember that the children of Israel, they were kept from it. They were kept from these mighty wonders of God. They could see them, but kept from them. The second thing, they were brought forth from slavery with a high hand, weren't they? After these plagues, they were brought forth from slavery with a high hand. And not only were they brought forth with a high hand, they came out shouting and rejoicing. But not only that, they came out with jewels. They were crowned with jewels. The jewels and gold and silver, the stuff of the Egyptians. They came out carrying their riches. So the Lord sends a deliverer. He comes down and delivers the children of Israel. They come out with all these precious jewels and with all of this gold and silver and all this fine linen and all of these different things. He redeemed His people, all of them. Not one of them was left behind. And so it will be in the end. Not one of his children will be left behind. I don't care what Tim LaHaye says. Not one of his children will be left behind. You understand what I'm telling you this morning? He knows his sheep. He will not leave one behind. It tells us in the Word of God that when they came out, all those that had the blood over the doorpost came out and not one was left behind. They came out and they were all healthy. They came out with jewels and they came out with gold and they came out with silver. Not only did these children of Israel come out, but they came out looking good, y'all. Now we know that this gold and silver and jewels was used later for the tabernacle, but they came out and they were looking good. They were vibrant and they were healthy. Not one was left behind. All was accounted for. Those he purchased were all accounted for. I praise God for that this morning. He has purchased me and I am accounted for. I was engraved upon the palms of his hands. My name is written in his book. He knows who I am. He has already went before and prepared the place. He has already done all of these things for us. We are accounted for. Not one will be left behind. Just as they were not left behind. They even brought out Joseph's bones out of Egypt. Yes. Not one was left behind. Yes. They were brought to the Red Sea, where the Lord divinely protected them from the Egyptians with a pillar of fire. We remember the story. It said that they were hedged in and they had the wilderness all around them and the cliffs around them. They were in a gully or ravine and they couldn't go anywhere. The cliffs were high and the sea was in front and the Egyptian army behind. And here again we have light for Israel and protection. And darkness and fire for the Egyptians, don't we? And here we have the Lord protecting his children. Those that he has delivered, he is watching over and he is protecting. The fourth thing, the Lord parted the Red Sea before his children and the sheep of his pasture. He dried it up for them. And what's so remarkable about this was there was no other way for them to go. No other way. And the Lord just says, I'm going to flip the script because I'm God and I can do what I want. I'm going to take something that's unstable and I'm going to make it stable. I'm going to make it congeal. I'm going to make it stand upon itself. I'm going to make it as though it was frozen. I reckon that if he can part it and he can walk on it and he can send it from the heavens and he can bring it up from the ground, I believe he's God, don't y'all? Fifth thing. See, fourth, he made a way when there was none, and he brought the children of Israel through the Red Sea. Fifth, he utterly destroyed the Egyptians' army. All the high-ranking officials, all the chariots, all the ones that were of prestige, Pharaoh sent out to go get the children of Israel, to go slaughter them. And you know what he did? Just as easy as he made water stand up on itself, he overthrew the Egyptian army by making water go back to its original form. Now you tell me that ain't awesome. They didn't have to worry about their enemies anymore. Do we understand that, guys? The children of Israel were chased. They were hounded like dogs by the Egyptians. How many people have ever seen a deer run through the woods? How many people have ever seen a deer run through the woods that's being chased by something? They're being chased. They got their mouth open, their tongues hanging out. It's not their natural state. They don't do it. They're looking for protection. I've seen dogs chase deer before, and I've seen them chase them so long that the deer, when they come by before they're killed, their mouths, and they're just looking for a safe place to go and to lay down in water and to drink. We're reminded of a psalm: as a deer pants for water, so my heart pants for you, O Lord. It's not natural for a deer to pant for water. It's only when they're chased by something and hounded by something. The children of Israel were constantly being hounded by the Egyptians. And here we have the Lord, and He intervenes miraculously, divinely. He steps in and He says, no more Egyptians. I'm going to pull the waters over top of them. It's going to return back to its natural state, H2O, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to destroy the Egyptian army just with water. So we see this miraculous, this divine protection from the Lord, how He delivers the children of Israel. Fifth, during this, He led them by clouds during the day, which provided a shield and protection from the heat of the day, didn't He? And at night, He provided heat and light in the desert wilderness, didn't He? Now, we understand, and it's not because I've ever lived in a desert, but I've watched a lot of Bear Grylls, and I've watched a lot of survivor shows on TV, television, and you can learn a lot from survivor shows. I hope to think, if I'm ever in that situation, that the Lord would miraculously bring all of this TV watching back to my mind so I would be able to apply it to my circumstance. But nevertheless, we understand that it is critically important in a desert situation to have a couple of things. The first of which is water. Right? The second of which is food. Third of which is shelter. Am I on track so far? All right. Shelter from the heat of the day, because it's scorching. And the fourth thing is warmth at night. Because we know in the desert that at night the temperatures drop and can drop well below freezing. And so here we have the Lord, and He is providing all of these things for the children of Israel. Before any survivor show ever came out, the Lord was the one that was showing how to survive in this wasteland. Listen to what it says. The sixth thing I want you to see is that the Lord provided water for the children of Israel. And we're fixing to get into my text here in just a moment, but listen to what it says. The Lord provided water for the children of Israel from the bitter waters of Marah. They came through the desert and they came to a spring that was bitter, and they called it Marah. And they grumbled and they complained. And then they looked and they saw a tree, and the Lord says, throw it in. And they threw the tree into the water, and the waters became healed. Or in other words, they became sweet. Sweet enough to drink. He knew that they needed water. And so He provided for them. He's a God of provision. He provided for them. He healed the waters. And His name is given here. We have a new name that is given here in Exodus in chapter 15 and 26. Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. The God that healeth thee. And He was speaking about the water because the Lord was providing for them. And so they come up to this place, and He knew that they needed water, man. He knew that they needed it. Don't think for one second that the shepherd didn't know that his sheep were thirsty. Don't think for one second that he is oblivious to our needs. I'll bring up my cows. Why not? I know what my cows need. And every part of the year, minerals, salt, nutrients, water, I know what they need. And I provide for them what they need. So how much more would the good shepherd provide for his sheep?
Amen.
He knew that they needed water. They had went 3 days in the wilderness. TV will teach you that you can only go 3 days without water. Well, here we have the Lord, and he is showing us very clearly that. They had went 3 days without water. He knew they needed it. And so he provides it for them. The seventh thing, then after this, the Lord led them to an oasis in the middle of the desert. To an oasis. A place where there were 7 or 12 springs of water. And I can't help but to thank for each tribe that was there, that was being brought out. 12 springs of water and 70 date palm trees. And it says here they camped beside this place. They didn't camp there very long, but they did camp beside this place. And the Lord, after he gave them the water that they needed, he then brings them into an oasis, a place where they could rest by still waters. Do we not see the Good Shepherd written all over this?
Amen.
Dates are said to be a survival food. Like I said, I've watched enough survivor shows to know this. Dates are said to be a survivor food. They're full of nutrients and they're full of minerals. They grow in the Middle East. They grow in the desert. This is where they grow. A survival food for long trips and hiking. They contain nutrients which boost energy levels to extremes. They're very, very easy to break down by the body. They produce energy for somebody that needs it, and these things are grown in the desert. The Lord knew what the children of Israel needed. They're also easy to carry. And this would be something that would be very, very useful in a barren wilderness where they were wandering. He knew what they needed. But notice, like any other fruit trees, dates are seasonal. Dates are seasonal. Who's got figs right now? Are they coming in?
Green ones?
Yeah. Miss Martha, if you go out and pick that green fig, is it any count to eat? Nope. But how long of a window do you have for that fig once it gets ripe? Very short. Why? Because they're bitter and then they go to rotten pretty quick. And if they don't go to rotten pretty quick, the squirrels and the birds and everything else will eat them. And this is what I want us to see this morning, is that the Lord brought the children of Israel. Not only did he do all of these things before that I've mentioned so far, but he brought them to an oasis where he gave them springs of water, 12. He brought them at a special time of the year where the dates were in season. Is this a coincidence, ladies and gentlemen? No, it is not a coincidence. Why? Because the Lord God is a God of provision. He knew what they needed. He knew that they would be ripe when they got there. They didn't have to linger around this oasis and wait on the dates to get ripe. Think about it for a second. The window to pick fruit is not very long. And so the Lord, not only did he provide this water and this oasis, but he also brought them these dates that were perfect. Ready to eat. I have watermelons right now that are bigger than my fist. I got one that's getting close to the size of maybe a soccer ball or a volleyball. And I'm waiting, Euless. I'm waiting on that watermelon. But you know how long I've been waiting on it? 2 weeks so far. So ever since I saw it coming out, I'm waiting on my corn too. I'm looking at them tassels and I'm looking at all the stuff and I'm waiting for them to get full to where I can start plucking that corn and beginning to eat it. But I'm still waiting on it. But it wasn't like that with the children of Israel, was it? The Lord brought them to this oasis and he brought them to this place where there were 12 springs and he fed them with the trees. The fruit was in season and He fed them. The Lord knows our bodies better than we do. He knew that they needed water first. He knew that they needed food. And He knew that they had to have both of them to live. And so He provided them with them. We know from science and the study of the body that man has to have water or he will die. But if all he has is water, he will die anyways. Because he has to have something else. And it's called food. We have to have food and we have to have water. If all we have is food, then our body cannot metabolize the food that we take in and everything begins to shut down. So notice the order that this is given in. First he gives them water on the third day. Then he takes them to an oasis where they can have water and food. Tell me that our God is not good this morning. Tell me, ladies and gentlemen, that He is not the perfect Father. He gives it in order. He knew physically what they need. He knows what we need. And then here again we see where science proves the Bible to be right. Not that it needed to. But here, 4,000 years or however long it's been since then, we see in the book of Exodus that the Lord gives the people what they need in order according to their bodies. And we know science proves that now, today. He's the God that healeth thee. Well, let's get to our text. Exodus chapter 16, and y'all think that this is going to take long, but I promise it's not. Because I said all that to lead up to this. Exodus in chapter 16, and we're going to look at verse 1 through 7. But before I do that, let me say this real quick. In all these stages, or the most of these stages, the children of Israel complained. Yes. You ever complained? Of course we have. My children complain. I complain. You complain. This is something that we complain. We complain. We are people that complain. Our nature is to complain. It's in us. But notice they complained when they were at the water's edge of the Red Sea, didn't they? They complained when they were back in Egypt because their workload was doubled. They complained when they came through and they got to the waters, bitter waters of Marah. After everything that God had done for them, they complained when they got to the bitter waters of Marah. They murmured and complained. This people wasn't fit for blessings. God had divinely delivered them time and time again, and they continued to complain. Kind of sounds like us a little bit, don't it? And this is why God the Father, this is why I'm preaching this morning about our Heavenly Father. And now here in chapter 16 and verse 2, so they leave the date palms, the trees there, and they camp beside, where they camp beside the waters, and they leave. And Moses knows where he's at because he's traveled this path before. He knows what he's about to embark on. And every step away from those 12 springs of water, he knows is a step further away from water. Listen to what it says. Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They complained. After all that God had done for them, they complained. And the sons of Israel said to them, this is where they begin to throw in some falsehoods and begin to really mock the Lord. Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. After all that the Lord had done for them, the good Father, they murmur and complain. They don't deserve a blessing, do they? They don't deserve it. I wouldn't have given it to them. I'm telling you right now, I wouldn't have given it to them. You've bit the hand that's fed you 4 or 5 times. Why would I do it again? Now, am I telling the truth or am I lying here? I'm fixing to wrap this sermon up, but I want us to get real here for just a moment, because I want us to see that we truly are a people that complain. We're a people that we're not thankful for a lot of times for what the Lord has done for us. We forget about the provisions and all the many multitude of blessings that He's poured upon us when we didn't deserve it. He is still a God that heals thee. He is still a God that provides. And listen to verse 4. This is why I preach. This is why I'm preaching this message this morning, because of verse 4. Listen to what it says. After all this complaining and after all of these things, verse 4 says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, behold." You know what that means? It's saying, the Holy Spirit's saying, pay attention to what I'm fixing to tell you. Does the Bible here say, behold, I'm going to send hellfire and brimstone down on you and consume you because you have murmured against me? Does it say that I'm going to sin? I'm going to swallow up you by the ground. I'm going to open the ground up and make a giant cleft in the earth to swallow you all up because you've murmured against me? Does it say that He's going to wipe them off the face of the planet with anything that He chooses to because they've murmured against Him? No! Listen to what the Word of God says. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Can't we see this morning that our Heavenly Father is a good, wonderful, providing Father? Yes. Yes. They didn't deserve it, and we don't deserve it. Amen. But our Heavenly Father looks down on our frame. He sees that we're but mere dust, and He says, I will rain bread down from you. You know where this bread came from? From His table. The children of Israel, they were crowned with all these jewels and gold and had all this stuff. And then the good king, the great Father looks down upon them and He says, I'm going to feed you from my table. I'm going to rain bread down upon you. And it's a good thing that the rain comes on the just and on the unjust, is it not? Because we don't deserve it. But we see very clearly that the Scripture teaches us it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. And these, ladies and gentlemen, these men and women were unjust. They were undeserving of the blessings of God. And God continued to rain them down upon them. Here we have true love. And the true nurturing Heavenly Father raining out showers of blessings. Because He is a good Father. All of us men and even women this morning would do good to take this into consideration, that He did not rain out fire and brimstone on these people, but He rained out showers of blessings on them. I will bless them with food from above. Then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. Turn with me to Psalms 103, 1 through 8. Listen to what it says. And I know I'm going just a touch longer than what I usually do, but I promise I'm just about done. I want you to see this. Speaking about fathers and beings that fathers, earthly, natural fathers fail. Our Heavenly Father does not. Listen to what it says in Psalms 103, 1 through 8. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord performs righteous deeds and judgments for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to who? To Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. Why? Because he is a good father. Let's finish Exodus in chapter 16. Let's go 5 to 7 and I'm done. And it will come about on the sixth day when they prepare what they bring in. It will be twice as much as they gather daily. Remember, he wanted them to rest on the seventh. So on the sixth, they were together 2 days worth. So Moses and Aaron said to all the sons of Israel at evening, "You will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt." As if they didn't already have enough examples already. Moses and Aaron tell them this. You'll know that you've been brought out of the land of Egypt by God. And in the morning, and I love this, in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord. For he hears your grumblings. I don't recommend grumbling to the Lord. I don't recommend murmuring against him, because he will not always strive with the people. Understand that. But here in the scripture it says that he heard their grumblings. He hears your grumblings against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us? This Father's Day, let us worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, our Heavenly Father. In Psalms 103, if you go on in that text, it says, "For he knows our frame, and he is mindful that we are but dust." He is the God that healeth. He is the God that provides. He is our Heavenly Father this morning. And we are to worship Him accordingly. Amen. Let us not complain as the children of Israel. Yes. Let us hold our tongues. Let us bridle our hearts. Yes. And let us not complain against what God has done for us. He's each given us a lot. He's each given us a portion and a place. Let us not complain. For it is our Heavenly Father that feeds us. It is our Heavenly Father that watches over us and tends to us. And this morning, every one of us should say, "Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us." Let's pray.